Today on the agenda, basically the same thing that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. We're just trying to keep going on these documents, these work items, processing them. So an update on the signature stuff, an update on the JSON-LD vocabulary and context, and an update on the roadmap. Is there anything else that we should discuss, anything else that should be on the agenda today? And then who just joined?
If it's boys, it's me, Victoriano.
Hi, Victoriano.
This 11SIP85-something?
Yeah, that's you. Okay, great, thanks. Okay, if there are no updates or changes to the agenda, let's go ahead and get into it. First up is an update on signatures. Dave, would you mind?
Sure. So the spec has just been coming along a little bit at a time. There is the link to the latest in IRC. Just recently, I've just added some more state information for implementers about blank node relabeling and filled out another algorithm related to relabeling. I also updated a little bit of text in the hash path section to try and, this is sort of the overview or introductory text. There's a link to it in IRC. The first paragraph that starts out with this text is intended to try and sound a little more colloquial for people who don't necessarily understand the details of the algorithm and who aren't necessarily implementers. It kind of gives them an idea of how the algorithm works to try and determine if two nodes in a graph are actually equivalent. So if you have some very base level understanding of what a graph is, then hopefully reading that paragraph might give you some idea of how the algorithm might work for figuring out if two nodes are equivalent, which is important for determining if two graphs are equivalent. I think that's about it. Are there any questions or comments?
I'm wondering if, this is Mona, I'm wondering if we need some graphics to try and explain how this works. I know that that's kind of a pain, and the graphics can come at the very end when the document's almost done, but I think, you know, this the whole normalization stuff is hard enough to understand as it is. It's great that there's this colloquial kind of explanation for it, but I'm wondering if for the more visual people, if it'll help them understand how this whole thing works, if there will be, you know, it will help people understand how this whole thing works if they're visual, if there's some kind of image or pictures on how this kind of graph labeling and hash path stuff works.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to create like an animated GIF of it, that would be great. Sort of a picture that showed a bucket full of nodes and pulling them out of the bucket and placing them on like a piece of paper and then repeating the process with the nodes in a different order, but drawing effectively the same graph would be a visual way to illustrate what the algorithm does.
Do you know if there's any way that we could tap into the JSON-LD normalization library and hook it up with like D3 to visualize that?
No, probably not, because the algorithm itself, I don't think so. I think that would be difficult to do. The algorithm does that sort of as an analogy. And I don't know if it would actually work out that way if you tried to hook it up to the algorithm itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, for example, like being able to visualize bubble sort and quick sort and merge sort, there are plenty of, you know, tutorials out there that do that, being able to do the same kind of thing here.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is what you would end up... I mean, maybe you might end up writing a lot of code to be able to sort of track it. It sounds complex. It might be possible to do. You would probably end up having to put in a lot of stuff into the code to be able to get to extract that information back out that would have no other purpose other than this exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know. Yeah, just trying to think of ways that we could kind of explain this in a more accessible way. I mean, I think it's fine. I think the language is fine. Okay, yeah, just a thought. Any other comments on the RDF dataset normalization stuff? So you're saying the new stuff new this week is the HashPath stuff?
That description was updated. I also added the node relabeling algorithm and state information related to relabeling blank nodes. So there were a few sections that were updated.
Okay. The blank node labeler state thing, that one?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this... that. And node relabeling algorithm.
Yes.
That. And the hash paths. Just a description. Okay. Cool. Anything else? Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, if not, we'll jump into the vocabulary. Let's see. Badges, credentials. Okay, so next topic up is the badges and credentials vocabulary in the context. I think there was a review done a couple of weeks ago. Nate and Sonny took that review to the Badge Alliance, which provided feedback here at this link. So feedback from is here. And then I went back in there and provided more feedback. So, Nate, Sonny, would either of you like to give us an update?
Sure, this is Nate. First of all, one question. So the Etherpad that we used here, really good document format for doing this type of back and forth and keeping everything sort of organized with the nice colors and everything. Is this a suitable format for long-term archiving for the Credentials Community Group, or should we at some point when this document is complete, you know, this review is complete, like paste it all back into an email and just get it in the public mailing list?
Typically, the way this stuff is done is it's done all through mailing list. And the reason for that is because the W3C guarantees that their mailing lists are going to exist forever, meaning that they have long-term data archival agreements that effectively match the ones that libraries have, meaning that as long as the library system exists, those things exist. So, we can copy and paste it in a big email and send it to the list, but the more ideal case is that the discussions actually happen on the mailing list itself. That way, you know when the comments were made, who made them, people can refer to them, you know, link to them using long-term URLs, things of that nature. Did that make sense? Okay. So ideally, this type of back and forth would be happening on the mailing list, not in Etherpad. Etherpads are good for kind of doing a quick meeting and collaborating, and then once you have done that, move it to a wiki at W3C or to the mailing list.
Okay, so as far as the status, thank you, Manu, for doing this initial review that we've gotten a lot of good information from and good discussion going. There definitely are some, still sort of like open questions, and then I'm sure we'll get to it toward the end of this call. I started work on porting a more general like vocabulary document into that, the bottom of that roadmap document, sort of coming out of this discussion.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Just thanking you, Nate.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Manu, was there any particular point of this document that you, or this review back and forth that you wanted to bring up on the call? I have a couple questions myself, but I can let you lead off if you'd like.
I think that the main thing that, at least the main realization I came to as I was going through this was that it's going to be very difficult for us to create like one document out of this discussion, right? Because there are different goals that each community is trying to achieve, right? OBI and Badge Alliance has to make sure that they support everything that they've done in a backwards compatible way, right? Because they've got a community out there that's using their stuff. So when it comes to things like, Jose or, badge terminology or various things of that nature, you have to provide backwards compatibility. The credential CG doesn't necessarily have the same constraint because there are no gigantic multi, million issuance implementations of the spec yet, right? So I think it's we're in a position where we can't ask the Badge Alliance to change a lot of the vocabularies that they have because you can only make so many changes before they become breaking changes. And in some cases, we're asking for breaking changes. So I think the path forward that ends up working for both communities is that we could talk about one vocabulary where a section of the vocabulary is going to be deprecated in the future, or we could talk about two different vocabularies, one of them that's specific to the credential CG and another one that's specific to OBI, and then you could have two different JSON-LD contexts, one of them for current and legacy OBI data, and another one for kind of more future-facing batch line slash credential CG data. So the reason I'm proposing that is that that means that we don't have to really discuss any breaking changes. There are just two versions of the context. One of them for, OBI, the badges as they exist today, the Mozilla badge stuff as it exists today, and for 0.5, 1.0, and 1.1. So there will be a vocabulary in JSON-LD context for that. And then for the future, we can talk about that kind of in a separate conversation where there's a separate JSON-LD context in possibly a separate vocabulary that is used for that kind of work, right? And then moving from one to the other, we can have applications that support both the old JSON-LD context and the new JSON-LD context. So that was basically the realization that I came through, reading through this. I think it's going to be very difficult for us to try and carefully thread a needle on, making things like, for example, the issue date, right, Unix timestamp plus the ISO timestamps. That's one example of if we put in that kind of backwards compatible support into the vocabulary, it means that all the clients now have extra complexity that they would not really have had had we kind of done a from scratch, design implementation of this stuff. Did that make sense?
Yeah, and on that last point, I do particularly agree. I've been trying to write software to sort of consume any badge that's been issued, whatever version out there, and particularly dealing with the different ways different issuers have formatted their timestamps has been a headache. But you're right, the one specific goal of the existing badge spec much backwards compatibility as possible with 1.0. And when we make a breaking change, which we assume is a very strong possibility at some point, we want to do it, you know, as infrequently as possible and as intentionally as possible and get, you know, all the right changes in there at the right time. So, you know, your letter approach of splitting out or making it so that there is a vocabulary that is sort of dedicated to the things that are going to be deprecated. We don't necessarily know every single thing that will be deprecated. Personally, you know, if speaking on behalf of, you know, Concentric Sky, not the Badge Alliance, we want open badges to be a part of, you know, future standard credentials work. So I would really love it if we could make sure that open badges could be included in identity credential documents and transmitted along with any other type of credentials that develop. You know, I think the open badges model is pretty powerful and expressive way for issuers to describe different types of credentials that could then be earned by many people, where you could make strong conclusions about, you know, that earner or recipient X, Y, and Z earned this type of credential, you know, from a particular issuer, and it's not that like a passport type credential, but it's something that would be, you know, this is organization A's badge. They created it and they authorized themselves to issue this on their own behalf, and you know, to get good, powerful trust statements built up about, you know, who is trusted by whom is trusted by who. You could be able to answer really important questions with this badge model, and so I definitely want to, when we make the breaking change with open badges, do it in a way that brings together, you know, it comes into convergence with the rest of the work that this community has been doing and sort of helps iron out a lot of these problems, but then maybe only do it once.
Mm-hmm. Yep, plus one. Totally agree. So one minor comment on what you said. So since we're using JSON-LD, you know, the OBI stuff could quite literally just go completely off in its own direction, and you could still take that data and put it inside an identity credentials document. And the reason that is because you can, you know, you can just assign a vocab. With JSON-LD, you can assign a vocab to that part of the subtree, and it becomes valid, you know, JSON-LD data when you do that. Now, clearly that's not the ideal, right? I mean, we want to put some good design into this, but even in the worst case where, you know, there's no collaboration or coordination between the two groups, you can still take OBI badges and put them into the identity credentials documents. The open badges stuff could basically kind of go off on its own, and we could still reintegrate it into the identity credential spec because it's using JSON-LD. So the only base requirement is that it's using JSON. So I don't think, Nate, you know, we certainly want to be more deliberate about it, but even if we made a mistake or you know, accidentally kind of veered off, I think that data will still be able to be put into an identity credentials document in the future.
Great. Okay. Cool. And then, so at the Badge Alliance, we will be looking at all sorts of things like how to package that deep nesting of the badge class and issuer information inside the delivered, you know, representation of the entire credential. It is indeed a weakness to only have the assertion information actually like baked into images and considered the portable part of badges. So we'll be fixing that quirk over time, but that'll be a breaking change of some sort. And it's good to know that this will still have a good compatibility path in its future.
So Nate, this is Eric Korb speaking. I'd be happy to work with you offline. We in the TrueCred platform, we have an export to OpenBadge
function that exports a digitally signed credential as a OBI compliant badge, and it does validate. So maybe we can glean some formatting, and then we can also import it back into the identity credential spec. So it's something that I'd be happy to work with you on.
Cool. It'll be great to have your voice in those discussions.
So I can give you some samples. I'd like to make. I can sanitize them with Manu offline, before I give them to you, just so to make sure that they're technically correct.
Sure. And also, this is a. To be clear, this is a discussion that will go on for some months. So there's
oh,
not.
Sure.
So a hurry on this, but of course we're definitely interested in seeing all the working implementations of you know, achieving this goal.
Okay. Nate, did you have any other, I guess, questions that you wanted to ask about the feedback or comments on the feedback?
I have a question. This is Sunny.
Sure.
So after these rounds of feedback, what are the next steps? Like, how do we move forward? If there are certain things that BA feels like we want to push back on, and then we provide that kind of feedback, how do things net out? Where do we go from here?
So, I mean, it's a great question. So my personal feeling, and you know, we have to figure where we go is, you know, up to the group. It's based on the consensus of the group. My personal thoughts on that is that we might want we're going to want to focus on producing some documents, and I think the easiest thing for us to really focus on is the vocabulary document. That document doesn't require any kind of breaking changes to be made to anything. It's effective. I put a link in that Etherpad. Let me try and find it.
Is that to the commerce vocabulary example?
Yes. Yeah, it's the link to the commerce. Yep, so let me get that.
Line 53 only, the band.
Yep, thanks. So here's an example of a vocabulary document. So if you look at that document, that's just it's a fairly simple example of what a vocabulary document is. It's what we're trying to, you know, produce. And that document would have things like, you know, badge and, you know, like the badge class and assertions and email and various things of that nature in there. It's kind of a machine-readable, you know, vocabulary. So let me give you another example. So that document that I just linked to in here is human-readable. It's an HTML page. But if you go to this file, this is a machine-readable machine-readable file. It extracts all the data out of that document. So this is what a machine sees when it sees that vocabulary document. So that's one thing. That's one next step, is we need to create the vocabulary document. And then the step after that really, let's see, the step after that is the context, right? So the JSON-LD context that specifies how you use that vocabulary, or the way that vocabulary is used in the JSON-LD context. So at a minimum, Sunny, I think there are two things we focus on next. One of them is that vocabulary document, machine-readable vocabulary document. The other one is JSON-LD context. Now, the question is, what do we do with the 0.5, 1.0, 1.1 OBI stuff? Like, what happens to that? And that's really a question for the Badge Alliance. You could decide to put that in a separate vocabulary document and use a separate JSON-LD context for it. We could try and put the things we know or could potentially become deprecated into that vocabulary document, but create a different JSON-LD context file for it. And then, so that's the second, you know, second class of work. So the first class of work is definitely a vocabulary document, definitely a JSON-LD context file. the next one, the next set of work is possibly a deprecated vocabulary or things that we know are going to be deprecated in the OBI stuff in a JSON-LD context specifically for 0.5 to 1.0 to 1.1 OBI badges, the JSON-LD context for that. And then the third set of deliverables we could focus on potentially is or are the specs that specify how a hosted, you know, assertion works, how a how the Jose stuff, you know, is implemented, all that kind of stuff. What basically taking the specs that Badge Alliance has right now and splitting them out into splitting them out, you know, taking the vocabulary out, specifying how hosted badges works and things of that nature. Did that make sense?
That does. I guess my follow-up question to that is, how do we know this might be, how do we know when consensus has been reached?
When consensus has been reached? We will usually say, okay, you know, typically we have like a, what's called a straw poll vote here, where we say, okay, we believe this is the direction forward, right? That we believe this is the vocabulary document and these terms should go in the vocabulary document. Are there any objections to making this the community group's vocabulary document? And at that point, people in the group can say, you know, I object, I don't think X, Y, and Z should be in there, or we get a whole bunch of plus ones. Now, consensus doesn't mean absolutely everyone agrees. It means that the majority of people agree that this is the best path forward. So that's how typically, you know, the consensus, W3C has a big document on how to gauge consensus in a group. And I can try and find that link for folks, but that's typically how we determine if there's consensus or not. And then if at some point somebody, you know, objects, that, you know, they believe we're going in the wrong direction or this is not the right path forward, then it'll go to a vote, a community group vote, at which point we'd open, you know, voting polls. We'd have a very specifically worded thing that we're voting on, and then it would take, you know, 2 to 4 weeks to do a vote. So we try and avoid votes as much as possible just because they take a really long time to do. Dave Longley just linked to the ART charter, and ART charter specifies that entire process, both the, you know, the loose consensus process and then the formal objection process and then how we resolve formal objections. Did that help, Sunny?
Yep, that does. It is quite the process.
this is the standards making process. Typically, we don't ever vote. Because the group tends to, you know, in almost all groups that we've been a part of, the group tends to talk through all the problems and comes to solutions that work for the group in general, right? It tends to not be a very contentious process, and voting only happens really when when it starts becoming contentious. The other thing to also note is that we're not an official W3C group. And if we were an official W3C group, things would operate in the exact same way. We're basically following the exact same W3C process. The hope is that by next June, maybe, the Web Payments IG will say that they want to have an official credentials working group created. And at that point, we become completely beholden to the W3C process, the official membership process. And once that happens, we would effectively do the exact same thing that's in our credentials group charter right now, but it would be bound by, you know, contract law. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So I mean, you know, again, what we're trying to rough out the documents that the official working group is going to pick up, and the more we work through all of the nitty-gritty details, the less work that official working group is going to have to do. Okay. Any other questions on process or how we're going to get consensus around this stuff?
Manu, I just want to make sure we're clear. We are an official community group.
We are.
Okay. Okay, because you think we're not an official group, so I think you left out the word community in there. So
So as far as the decisions that we make here, they have no bearing on the decisions that an official group is going to make. As far as them having to pay attention to what we're saying, now the reason they will pay attention to what we say is that a good chunk of us are going to end up in the official working group. And if they don't listen to what we say, they're just going to end up repeating the same conversations that we had in this group. So the fact that we're recording these audio conferences, that we have minutes and all that kind of stuff, the reason we're detailing all of this is to tell them, look, you need to pay attention to what's in these documents because we went through a lot of effort to get to this level of consensus. And if you decide to go in another direction, you're going to get a whole bunch of flack for it, right? Did that make sense?
Manu, I have a follow-up question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I don't mean to belabor the point, but from the BA standpoint, so we have what we've been calling a standard for the past couple of years, and we have a community that's been growing quite sizably that's aligning with that standard or specification, whatever we decide. I think we're open to calling it specification, understanding how things work within the W3C. Mm-hmm. We're just I am having a hard time understanding how this will fit into the credential community group without necessarily creating like a fragmentation of different but similar standards.
Let me think about the how to respond to that first half second. Here's one thing that could cause a lot of fragmentation. If the Badge Alliance decides that they're not that interested in the identity credential stuff or the digital signature stuff, and you're more focused on hosted badges and things of that nature, it could create two ways of issuing badges or credentials out there. One of them is the Badge Alliance, approach, which is a hosted badges approach. And then the other one could be the identity credentials approach, which is the one that's used for digital passports and know your customer requirements for banks and things of that nature. So that would create fragmentation if there's no path for these two technologies to kind of converge, right? So here's an example. If in the 2.0 the 2.0 Badge Alliance specs, there is a decision that's made that you are going to continue using Jose for digital signatures, you're going to continue to focus on the hosted stuff as a primary way of doing validation, then that could create fragmentation. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't have that standardized, meaning that you could standardize that through W3C, and we could standardize the identity credential stuff by demonstrating that they apply to two very different communities with two very different sets of goals, right? So that's always the challenge with standards, is that we really, really, really try and create unified standards that work as broadly as possible. But sometimes there are fragmentations and two communities can't necessarily figure out how to merge their initiatives, and you end up with two standards that do, more or less the same thing. So in order to avoid that from happening, we have to continue to talk about how do we, you know, what's the migration paths for the current vocabulary set we have, right? How does a 0.5, 1.0, and 1.1 OBI badge, how is that expressed in an identity credential in the future? And then for the Badge Alliance 2.0 work, you know, the ones that Nate, you know, Nate keeps saying that there's going to be, you know, some kind of breaking change in the future, you know, are those specs going to be almost completely in alignment with the future identity credential stuff, or are they going to be a separate thing? So yeah, like Eric's saying in IRC, supporting the same linked data vocabulary. So if we both support JSON-LD and we both support the same linked data vocabulary and structure, then we're in really, really good shape. We won't have fragmentation. But if, you know, either side decides not to buy into that, then we've got a fragmentation problem on our hands. Did that help at all, Sunny? And I don't know.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yep, that was helpful. I'm just kind of learning that this is a little bit more art than science, the process.
Oh, yes. Yep, it's all about human relationships. Dave Longley's on the queue.
Yeah, I was just going to add that I don't think that there's any danger that we would accidentally create similar but ultimately different standards. As long as we're all working together on the same documents, it's going to be very clear if we have disagreement or if we're finding consensus. So if we're all working on the same documents, then those documents should all ultimately be compatible. And so as long as everybody's working together in the group, hopefully we will come to a consensus and there won't be fragmentation. So I don't think there's any concern that we would accidentally create something very similar, but they would ultimately be different. Because in that case, I would think that we'd be able to find some kind of consensus. I think the only way that we would actually have fragmentation is if there were large differences.
Yeah, and for that to happen, typically somebody has to walk away from the table and say, forget it, we're going to do it on our own. The things
Got
that
it.
Lead
Thank
to
you.
That are... Okay. Yeah, the things that lead to that are usually a huge disconnect in communication. Two groups stop talking to each other or decide that they absolutely can't work together and go off into their own corners and do their own thing. So I think that's the thing that we really need to be worried about. As long as all of us are on the same phone call and we're, you know, talking through these things, I think we're good. The second people stop showing up to the calls and say that there's, you know, absolutely no way that they're going to implement, you know, X, Y, and Z in the spec, then we've got problems. Okay. Any other questions on this particular item? Okay. All right. Nate, did you have anything else on the OBI vocabulary or the spec split stuff?
Hey, this is Nate. On the vocabulary, I started with, in the roadmap document that we're going to link to next, with thinking that the entities that had been defined in that document, I think, makes sense as part of the vocabulary. And then I wrote out a couple, four different classes following that commerce vocabulary, just sort of as very general language descriptions of the goals that we were trying to accomplish in the Badge Alliance with having a badge class and, what we would talk about as a collection of credentials. And you may have seen my email to the credentials list from Sunday night, where I was talking about an issue of whether we call a identity document that carries some different statements made by different issuers, if we call that a credential or a collection of plural credentials. And I would argue in that case for making that a collection of multiple credentials, even though the word credential itself can be defined in different dictionaries both ways. I think it's a more powerful metaphor to talk about doing this different kind of combining and making sure that a collection is fit for purpose rather than the notion of building up sort of a singular credential out of statements made by many parties.
So I thought that was, that was very good. I agree with those statements, Nate, meaning that I don't think you can have a bunch of different credentials and then the document that it's kind of put into can, I don't think that's also called a credential. So for example, what we've done, at least with the identity credentials spec, is that you have this thing that's called an identity, quote unquote, you know, an identity document, and this is terminology that goes back like probably close to a decade at this point. You have this document on the web. That document is an expression of some aspect of your identity. You can have multiple different identity documents. It's kind of just a container. And then in that identity document, you have a set of credentials, right? That doesn't mean that identity document is a credential itself. It's just a container for those credentials. Is that what you were saying, Nate?
Or does I think what I'm saying is very much in alignment with what you just said, that I think this, we're talking about containers to put multiple credentials into and to use to share credentials. And I think the identity credential document, the identity document style is something that would fit very well with goals that we've been approaching at the Badge Alliance for the last couple of years of being able to, you know, share collections of badges in ways that are more consumable by machines than the existing technology. Most of the existing technology, such as in the Mozilla Backpack, is really focused on human reading audiences. And I think merging with this spec would really enhance the consumability of badges as you know, credentials, in the sense of a credential as something that is very forward-looking, aiming at actually being exchanged for another opportunity or opening something, some access.
I just wanted to add some comments to that. First of all, I think we're in agreement that the identity document is sort of a container for a variety of different credentials. And I think I agree with most of what Nate said, that you're not just building up a single credential or using credentials to build up a meta or, you know, bigger version of an aggregate credential. Also, the point that a credential is a set of claims made by a particular issuer was one of Nate's comments from that email that I think we're also in agreement with, though perhaps a credential could also be endorsed by other issuers. The other main comment I wanted to make, because I noticed that in working with some of the software and trying to model things, there was another comment that Nate made that I think came from like a sociologist or something about there might be another part of the definition of a credential is that a credential, while being a claim about a particular entity, that definition might not be sufficient. We might also want to say it's a claim about a particular entity that makes that entity particularly suited to fit into a certain role or a job or some other kind of to be able to take some other kind of action. So just saying a credential is a set of claims about a particular entity might not be sufficient. We might want to say a credential is a set of claims about a particular entity that makes it well-suited to take a particular action. And that sort of restricts how you would model certain data. You know, for instance, you might not want to say some particular result of some action that you've taken might not be a credential itself, but that you were given a reward for taking that action might be the credential. I don't know if that subtle difference is clear or not.
Could you repeat the last bit?
Say that again.
So suppose you took a test and you got an A on the test. The result of your test is not necessarily a credential, but the fact that you took a test and you got an A, and A was a passing grade that earned you, I now have passed this class 101, X101. I passed JSON-LD 101. Passing JSON-LD 101 might be the credential. The fact that you took a test during that class that you got an A in would not be the credential itself.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be some piece of information that would ultimately result in you being awarded a credential. But mm-hmm. some people who are trying to model the data might say, oh, well, the test, you've received an A on a test, and that's a credential.
Mm-hmm.
But that might not be a good way to model the data.
Right.
Right, because the class completion credential is aimed at being consumed by another party and being understood by, whereas the test result is really aimed at just the professor understanding, where you are in order to serve as criteria for a credential.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I note that we're out of time for today, but I think this is a really good discussion, and this is the kind of stuff I think that we are going to get into even more as the weeks roll on, meaning that these are the types of conversations that we have to have in order to produce a good vocabulary document and a really good roadmap document. So this is all great stuff, and I'm hearing more alignment than not. So that's also good. I'm hearing a lot of people agreeing with each other rather than there being widespread disagreement. So how we're modeling this stuff, there's been an incredible amount of thought put into that in the identity credentials spec, as there has been, I'm sure, in the OBI spec. So over the next couple of weeks, we're probably going to need to drill into that to make sure that we all understand the nuances in each one of these data models, such that when we end up creating these final documents, that we're going to create something that takes all of that into account. I think the call next week is going to be canceled unless somebody wants to run the meeting next week. Next week is the presentation to the Web Payments Interest Group in Utrecht in the Netherlands. I'm going to be there pushing the credentials agenda on their agenda, on the face-to-face agenda. I won't be able to make that call. So if somebody else wants to run the call next week, please volunteer. If not, we'll probably not have it.
Madam?
Okay. Yep.
Madam, before we go, I'd encourage everyone to please check the roadmap. It's been updated. There's a new goals section. Carrie is going to be providing some language that's going to support badges. The vocabulary is there from Nate. So I think some important changes have been made. And so I think we're very close to having it wrapped up. So if everyone could at least take a look and make final comments, the only thing that we have remaining would be the schedule, the proposed timeline targets. And I think that's a great place to be.
Great. And thank you so much, Mark, for your work on that. It's great.
It's everyone's work. Yeah, thank everyone, certainly. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark. If there's any other last comments before we go? Okay, have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll continue the discussion on the mailing list. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.